shit. Who will survive? You forgot about this, didn't you? Why do you always say Survivor Series? It's a WrestleMania song. you ever wanted that?
Nope.
I don't, like, that even bothered me when I was a kid. Back when the song came out, like, I'm like, why do you think Survivor Series when it's a WrestleMania song? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That always used to irritate me. But I know you're over there geeking right now hearing this shit.
Sometimes. The old school music kind of makes me angry sometimes.
You said it makes you angry? But wait. But they be serious when they be coming out with their, with the little bass show features. Like, listen to Boss Man shit. He's thinking back to living with a little boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To be a law enforcement officer and do what's right and walk the street in the trail and narrow. You know what? Who will survive? WrestleMania! Pump it up! Pump it up! Mic check 1-2, mic check 1-2. Welcome to another episode of the MDX Podcast. I'm your co-host, Mr. Maurice Prophets.
And I'm Danny Dang.
And we are on the heels, ladies and gentlemen, of ending an epic WrestleMania weekend. And it was an epic WrestleMania weekend, ladies and gentlemen. And we are all here for it. We are all here for it. We're going to give you the scoop. We're going to give you our insight. And we're going to give you the details. We're going to give you the play-by-play of everything that happened. And just like per the usual, me and Danny, we kind of stayed away from each other all week because we said we wanted to give y'all the freshest, the most honest, the most unfiltered, the most raw coverage that we can give y'all. The most honest conversations that come from us. All right? And you all are a part of it because we are all family. Wait, hold on. Is this the rap part? Comes coming at ya, so pick it up. You won't be stopped. We're new and improved. Pop it up, pop it up. Swing, swing, swings. I'm trying to remember the words. Or the back, or the plate. Boy, you better catch it. Coming at ya. We're new and improved. Pump it up, just jump. The WWF spells danger. It's 93, it's on the WrestleMania. Danny Dang!
What up?
Man! Still got it, boy!
Kind of.
Y'all, excuse the hypeness. I'm on a very long day today at work. You know, I worked a regular gig. I had to go to the theater tonight and go over there and work over there as well. Just getting home right now. It's about 10:30 Chicago time. But I'm pumped up on a whole bunch of coffee. So I'm a little bit live. I'm a little bit energetic. I'm feeling good. I'm on the phone with my boy. I'm with y'all. We about to talk about Mania. I'm chilling. I'm feeling good. So y'all excuse the upper hypeness that's happening right now. I know I'm going to crash in about an hour and a half, so if y'all hear me snoring, I mean, y'all know business. You know what I mean? But first things first, let's get down to business, man.
Yeah, let's just get into it.
Dude, five days, bro, of like just nonstop wrestling. You know how like last week we were talking about, when you were bringing up how, like, you know, you get to a, when you go to your WrestleMania trips, you gotta get to a point where you're like, all right, I'm good. You know, like, I'm good for a while.
Yep.
Duh, for real. I damn near got to that point. Like, I think, like, yesterday, I was like, shit, we got SmackDown? Shit.
Dude, I got to that point during Mania.
Oh, a word?
Yeah.
Well, shit, well, Mania was 7 hours long. Well, it's like 7.5 hours long, I think.
Yeah, like with the pre-show and everything. Oh, yeah. Goodness. And then we had, so, I mean, we'll start with like Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
They switched it up this year. They did Hall of Fame on the Friday when it's usually on the Saturday.
Right.
So they switched it up. I think Hall of Fame was really good.
I only saw three inductions. Only saw DDPs, I saw Teddy Longs, I saw Kurt Angles.
Okay. You basically saw everything that you needed to see then.
Gotcha.
I mean, everything was really good. Rick Rude's family was really good. Everyone, all the speeches this year were really, really good. Nothing was, like, too long.
Right.
I mean, it was a long, it was a long show, right? Because it always runs like, it was like a, almost a three hour show.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it is a long one, but it didn't feel that long, right?
Okay.
I think that
had a good pace going.
Yeah. The only one that kind of rambled on a bit was the Warrior Award for that, Eric LeGrand.
That's what I was gonna ask you about. I heard that his speech was like literally listening to a fan receiving a Hall of Fame speech. Like that's what a fan.
That's essentially what it was, right? I mean, the guy is paralyzed, right? Right. You know, and he's he is a fan.
Yeah,
first and foremost, right? And I mean, they gave him the Warrior Award, right? Because he was he got into a football accident playing football at Rutgers, man. And he basically, doctors told him he wasn't going to walk, he wasn't going to do this, he wasn't going to do that, and he ended up gaining like a little bit of feeling back, and he could move like his neck, and I think he can move his arms a little bit, but he's not like mobile by any means.
Right. Yeah, he's confined to that wheelchair.
But he basically the same thing that happened to Christopher Reeves is what happened to him. Right? And so he's like paralyzed from the neck down, kind of thing, and then I guess him and Christopher Reeves like met, I want to say, if I can recall correctly, and they were like talking about how they could help folks with what they have, and all that stuff. So you know, that Warrior Award is a humanitarian thing, right? You know, people, because this year last year they gave it to, was it Joan London, who like survived cancer and all that stuff, and she was out there to talk about it. And then so this year they gave it to the Eric LeGrand. But I mean, he told his story about what happened, what he's doing and all that stuff. And then he kind of just went on like a rant for a little bit about how wrestling kind of like motivates him to do stuff and this and that. But I mean, it was just him telling stories about, you know, storylines that he's liked and all that stuff, and how him and Triple H kind of connected and all that.
He bring up any like pretty cool, obscure storylines?
No, everything was pretty. And I don't know if they like helped him with it, but he like plugged the network and all that stuff. You know, like
my favorite WrestleMania moment was when Pete Rose was chokeslammed by Kane, because you know that's the only WrestleMania moment that they ever like tell us every year.
No, I don't think he talked about like a WrestleMania moment, but he was like, "Hey, my mom's at home watching on the WWE Network."
On the WWE Network,
I'm like, you would have to plug that, but
right.
But no, the everything was really really good as far as the ceremony went. Like I said, it wasn't like too crazy. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
What are the better ones? Like, I went to the last two, and those were just like, oh my goodness, this is over yet.
Man, dog, for real. The Hall, to me, the Hall of Fame is not enticing to be at. I've not been to one, and I know you've been to two already, but I just cannot be in that arena. You know, cramped up with everybody named Mama, sitting there for 3.5 hours, just like listening to like it'll feel like a very very long graduation to me.
You want to know why I like it? It's because you get to see. I love seeing wrestlers out of character.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I love that. I love it. I love that part, and I love something about wrestlers telling stories is so fascinating to me.
Hell yeah. I'm with you.
You know, because, like, for us, like, me and you, like, we're homies, right? We can sit there and we can talk about wrestling and this and that. But, like,
right. When
the actual people, like, because you look at anything else, right? You look at movie stars. Movie stars don't sit down with other movie stars and tell stories about this movie, that movie.
Nah, because they don't like each other, right?
right. You don't have that. And you may have some sports people that sit down and talk about this and that, but
like, but they still keep it clickish, yeah.
They do. But the thing about wrestling is these guys, as many promotions as you have and this and that, they're such a tight-knit group.
Yeah.
And there's many, like, unwritten rules, right, about, like, being in the locker room and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And they have so many stories, like, with everyone. Like, you may have traveled on the road with this person at one point in your wrestling career, and then someone else would have traveled with them. And so, like, they have so many dope stories to tell, right?
Yeah.
And you have so many different perspectives where it's, like, you know, that I, like, one person might like this person, and the other person might hate this person, and this and that, and it's just, it's so fascinating for me to listen to.
No, I feel you on that, and that's the one thing that's, that, like, I noticed that they kind of keep true. See, even though wrestling has evolved, and, you know, kayfabe, like, days of kayfabe are, you know, essentially dead, but there's still that, like, that piece of the pie that's still left sacred with wrestlers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of, like, you know, how they are, like, you know, when it comes to being true to the bond that they have with each other. Because it is, overall, the wrestlers, they are a pretty, like, you know, like, a very niche group, a very niche fraternity, basically. Mm-hmm. Especially in WWE, like, you know, people who work there, you know, with the WWF, the old-timers, the guys now. And it's like, there still is a, like, common thread of, like, you know, really respecting the camaraderie that they all share among each other. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm totally with you on that. Like, guys, I love listening to stories. I prefer the more uncensored, where they can kind of, like, you know, not so much a shoot interview. I mean, I listen with a shoot, but I really do like a really well told story. You know, from, like, the old wrestlers about, like, the old times. That's why I love. I should be plugging them, because they got like a million downloads every 5 minutes. But the Bruce Prichard podcast, you know, it's so many really good stories that he's telling all the time about the old days, and, like, you know, specific episodes that concentrate on specific pay per views and goes into detail about how it all came together and stuff. It's so fascinating. But I'm with you on that. I'm just on the opposite end when it comes to actually being physically in the arena. I would rather watch and listen to those to the Hall of Fame at home or at the hotel, but actually being in the arena, sitting in section 217, row 6, seat number 29, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Because yeah. I like it. I like that. I like being. I just like being at events. Period.
Right.
But what gets me is, like, the. There's so many people, like, catcalling and stuff where, like, where it's, like, unnecessary. Like, on TV, you don't really hear it, right? But, like, when you're there, it's just, like, really? Like,
oh, I bet you hear it. Yeah, I bet you hear it a lot because essentially, like, you know, you're in a controlled environment. Like, that's happening, like, on the main floor. That's a controlled environment.
So right.
It's not, like, craziness, excitement, it's not fireworks and, you know, all that stuff and everything. You know, so because you're in a controlled environment where it's really talking that's happening, I bet you, since you've been there personally twice, you hear everything around you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it gets annoying. Like, there's signs even when you walk in that's like, please do not catcall, blah, 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 all this stuff. Like, the fact that they even have to call it out means it's an issue, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet you this guy gets to them, man. Like, obviously, like, you know, like, when you're responding to, like, you know, if Ric Flair's up there accepting the Hall of Fame, he does a woo, and you woo back. Obviously, yeah, you know, that's all
good and whatnot. Right.
But, like, I'm pretty sure that you've heard, like, your fair share of people who are, like, trying to start a chant during the middle of a speech. Oh, yeah. Like, dude, seriously?
Yeah. Right.
Fuck, you know?
Because it's not a wrestling event. Like, right. You're not at Raw, you're not SmackDown, NXT, like, this is like a... I mean, as much as people hate on the WWE Hall of Fame, like, but still, it's a Hall of Fame, regardless of if you want to talk about how legitimate it is or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's still something that some people hold pretty dear to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know? Yeah. So who are you to say that this is stupid or that is stupid or whatever the case is? And so I just, that part turns me off because I've seen so much of it. I'm just like, come on, people.
Yeah.
You know, well, some people wait all their lives for it, and they don't never get it.
Hell, right, exactly. You know? No, you're right. Absolutely. You've been to two. Which one did you like better, the one at 31 or the one at 30, for 32?
32's was better for me because I didn't have to, like... Because that 31 was the first Warrior Award.
The comment, right?
Yeah, and Dana just went on and on and on and on and on, and I was like, I'm so over this right now.
Yeah.
Because good. And then in that one, I don't even remember who the big name was that year.
For a 31?
Yeah.
Was it Savage?
Savage was in it, but he wasn't like the big name, I don't think.
Oh, Kevin Nash, right?
Was it Nash?
Yeah, because Nash was inducted that year.
Scott Hall was.
Oh, Scott Hall. Oh, okay. Yeah. So Nash probably last year then.
Let's see. Because last year's was Sting.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm looking it up right now.
Maybe, was it?
Savage got into that one. But I don't think he was he the
one? Wait, Sting was last year, you're right. Yeah, Nash was the year before. Scott Hall was New Orleans.
Scott Hall was New Orleans. I missed that one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So.
So Nash was the one that.
It was Nash, but yeah. Savage was the big name for that one.
It wasn't Nash?
No.
I think he was the last one.
Well, he was the last one, but I think
Savage. Oh, but from a fan standpoint?
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm with you.
Yeah, but that one regardless was boring. Because it was like Larry Zbysko, the Bushwhackers. Alundra Blaze was cool. Yeah. And it was like Schwarzenegger, Rikishi.
Yo, I remember the Bushwhackers speech was actually funny.
Yeah.
That one was, like, that surprised me. I'm like, that one was actually really funny and shit. Like, I was like, okay, why am I enjoying this? You know what I'm saying? And I just remember Alundra Blaze was like, I'm like, she has not aged. She's like gorgeous. She's actually gotten better as she's gotten older.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But no, Hall of Fame was good. I like DDP's speech. Tay Long's cool. And I'm not gonna lie, Kurt Angle's was good. It was a little standard, but I like when he started bringing out the gimmicks, like when he brought out the wig and the milk and whatnot. That was cool.
He was just genuinely happy to be there.
Yeah. And bro, and shit, don't trip. I'm ecstatic that Kurt Angle's back. This is ridiculous. How was Jim Cornette? I heard his very standard.
Yeah, he's a very professional person when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, any good stories?
He told a bunch of good stories. He's just in typical Jim Cornette fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't... Again, he's the kind of guy where, like, if he's going to shoot, he's going to shoot. But if he's on script, he's not going to... He's one of those guys that, like, lives, eats, and breathes wrestling. Like, true. You know, that's all he knows.
Yeah.
And so, if WWE calls him to do something, he's going to do it their way.
Yeah.
You know, he's that kind of guy. If he's going to shoot on someone, he's going to shoot on someone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he kept it good. Everything was fine. Nothing out of the norm, so.
How do you look?
He looked great. Looked fine. Good. Yep.
That's good. I was, like you know, I hate, like, when, like, you know, it makes me sad, like, when you see, like, your... Like, the guys you remember from your childhood, and they're, like, so, like, sick and small. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
I think about Bobby Heenan a lot, because I'm, like, that gets me nervous. I know
I'm, like... He's been through a lot. He's been through a lot, but...
I know, man, but I just, like, I don't know. I don't know what to talk about. All right. But, yeah, Hall of Fame was good. And then we went on to the next day. So, that was Friday. And the next day was NXT TakeOver in Orlando. Now, I missed the first hour. I know, I'm doing great, right? I missed the first hour because I was getting food. I got home, I turned on the network right when the Authors of Pain were entering the ring.
Okay, so you saw the last three matches then, pretty much.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so you saw everything that you needed to see.
Uh-huh.
Let's put it that way.
Okay, so the first hour was just filler, basically?
I mean, it wasn't anything, like, crazy. There was, like, a Sanity versus Roderick Strong. It was supposed to be, It was supposed to be No Way Jose, I think.
Mm-hmm.
and some girl that I don't know.
Okay.
And then No Way Jose got hurt, and then there was a mystery partner, and it was Cassius Ohno. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's dope. And then was the AOP after?
No, there was a couple matches before. There was a Cien Almas fought Aleister Black, who is like people were ranting and raving about.
Yeah, I've been seeing his name all over the place.
Yeah, people were like loving. I think he's gonna be really good. They did great with his gimmick. His entrance was kind of crazy. He's kind of like a demon type of guy, and so like he was like laying on some type of platform, I'm assuming, and he kind of did like a. It was almost like one of those Undertaker like sit ups. Yeah, and he kind of just walked out, and like the song was really cool, and like you may have to just go back just to watch the entrance.
Okay.
Because it was kind of dope.
Is he the guy who's the fake ass Finn Balor?
Kind of.
Okay, all right. He was in that UK tournament, right?
He was in the UK tournament. Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I remember him. Yeah. Yeah. There was that meme going around. After the UK tournament. And they had both Finn Balor and Aleister Black, like a picture of them side by side, and it said some shit to the fact of like when you didn't do the homework last night and you asked your friend if you could copy off them, but they said make it a little bit different so it won't be obvious. Oh yeah, it's stupid. Alright. But yeah, alright. The AOP that triple threat match though. That was hard, bro.
Yeah, well, DIY and Revival kind of held it all together.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That they went hard, man. The last, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes of that match? I mean, the AOP beat the hell out of DIY, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they did every signature move that they have in their arsenal. I'm like, and I think to myself, like, Oh, it's over. Damn. Like, what? Like, they really beat the shit out of them, man.
Yeah. But,
I like the AOP. I like the Office of Pain a lot. Because they represent, like, that old school, big, gritty, strong, raw, no frills, no nonsense. Just some two guys are just tough as nails and can kick your ass. And big as hell, too.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Man, I love that. Just raw strength, man. Nothing pretty, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good shit right there. So yeah, so they unveiled the new championship, the new titles for every person because apparently Paige fucked it up for everybody.
I know,
I'm just being stupid.
I like the new titles. I love them, actually.
Yeah.
I love every single one of them. I think they're amazing, and I'm probably going to buy one.
Oh, which one are you going to get?
The tag one is super dope, but I might just get the NXT Championship one.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah, I'm glad that they did that, because especially with the main title, Bobby Roode's title, I never liked that belt. Never liked it. It looked clunky. It looked boxy. It looked, I don't know. I just never liked it.
Well, it was kind of time for a change anyways, because the titles that they've had were just, those are the originals.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it was kind of time to move on, I think, because it's to kind of have a whole new roster now, right? Mm-hmm. They've gone through, like, the old generation, quote unquote, and they've got all these new people coming in, so why not start fresh?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's really no one else. There's no one left that's from the old wave.
No, yeah, especially after all the call-ups on Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that. So AOP, they retained Asuka and Ember Moon. Good match. Much better than Asuka's last match at TakeOver not Houston, San Antonio.
Yep.
Yeah,
but look who she was working with.
True, very true. That was a good ass match. That told a good story too.
It did.
It told such a good story, man. And I liked how, I mean, like, you know, because the thing what was good about it was that they were able to get their movesets in. They were able to, like, you know, really, and, you know, this is the thing is that, like, I like it when people lose their match, but they still leave looking strong. And I think, and I feel Ember Moon, I feel this is, like, this is a match where it did nothing but, like, rise Ember Moon's stock, because we really were able to see her take Asuka to the limit, and no one's ever taken her to the limit that much as much as she has. So it's really not like a, I mean, obviously it's a loss in the books, and a win for Asuka in the books, but overall, though, in terms of what you remember, Ember Moon really gained a lot for herself as a, you know, not only as a wrestler, but for her character as well, too. So, you know, that was a situation where everyone won. Everybody won in that match.
Yeah, I'm not a big Ember Moon fan.
Nah?
No.
You don't like a lot of black wrestlers, do you? You don't like a black female wrestler.
She's just boring to me.
Wait, that finish is boring?
That little top rope stunner thing or whatever they call it. I don't know what they call it.
Yeah.
I don't. So she has like one cool move.
Dog, her arsenal is sick.
I don't know. I'm just not sold on her.
Dude, her chain wrestling?
I'm glad she didn't win. I'll tell you that much right now.
Whose man is this? Are you serious? She's boring?
Yes.
Dog, you tripping.
No.
Oh, my God. She got a lot more moveset than motherfucking, that blonde chick you like.
Who?
What's her name? Alexa Bliss?
Alexa Bliss is different.
Why? Because you blonde hair, blue eyes?
No, I hate blonde hair, blue eyes.
Man, get your ass out of here.
So, this goes to, well, okay, so this goes to the, who was I talking, my post last night, and then Carla was commenting on it, about who do I like better, Sasha or Alexa Bliss?
Shout out to Carla. Uh-huh.
And I said Alexa Bliss, and she was kind of shocked, right? Uh-huh. And my answer was, and I wasn't basing it off looks or anything, because I think both of them are perfect. But I look at Sasha Banks right now and her on-screen character, and it's so boring to me. And then I look at Alexa Bliss's character, and like, she's like a heel and she's evil and like, she's, you know, she's all out to get people and she's trying to get her title back now and all that stuff. And like, she has a character, right? Whereas you have, and this may just go back to the fact that I love heels and I hate faces.
That's what I'm about to say. It's more of a heel thing then. But the thing is, for heels.
But it's just because there's character behind it. Like, right now, Sasha Banks is all just, oh, like, I'm so happy for Bayley because she won and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, like, that's dope. Like, I get it. You guys are friends. But it's like, there is a show to put on here. And that's kind of my issue with, like, fans that become wrestlers, right? Because you have, like, Charlotte, where she was born in the business, and I get it. But that's not what she wanted to do.
True, yeah.
And then she figured out that she could be pretty good at it, and she plays a character, right? And she owns it 100%. Whereas you've got, like, fangirls in Sasha Banks, in Bayley, you know, and they're coming out and like teary-eyed at WrestleMania. Like, I get it. Like, it's huge, right? Because that's like if you and I were to make it, and we're walking down the ramp of WrestleMania, right? But they see it as like, oh snap, like I'm living my dream, which is great. I'm not putting that down at all, right? If you're living your dream, you're living your dream. Like, that's whatever it is. If you want to be a wrestler, if you want to be a clown, a balloon animal artist, I don't care what it is. But if that's your dream and you're living it, 100% congratulations, because 90% of people don't actually live their dreams, right?
Right.
But at the same time, I'm just like, man, like, y'all got characters to play, you know? It's like people hate on Jimmy Fallon when he was on SNL because all he did was laugh.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't keep it together. Fan, yeah. You know, you can't keep it together to get your stuff out. And so, for me, it's like, Ember Moon is supposed to be this, like, you know, kind of weird, kind of out there. But then, like, she walks to the ring and she's all happy and smiling. And I'm like, can't do it.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, like, Asuka, like, you don't know if she's heel or face, which she's a heel, technically. Mm-hmm. But she comes out with a smile on her face, but she switches real fast.
I got you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of where I am with that.
The thing I like about both of them, though, is that they completely own their characters. Like, they own those characters. Like, they have created those characters. They've been doing those characters for, you know, for quite some time. So, you know, it could be a thing. And like, for me personally, I don't really go deep in, like, you know, watching the indies and whatnot. I kind of stay on the surface with my wrestling nowadays because I just don't have the time to look at everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, though, like, the character that she has portrayed is pretty popular, and I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if you're supposed to be able to hone in on what exactly she is or what she represents or whatever. Which is fine because, you know, you want to kind of keep that layer of mystery. Maybe it's just a thing of, like, eventually, like, you know, there's needs to get more of a WWE polish on it to make it more, to make it a little more transparent, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I get what you're saying in terms of Alexa Bliss. Even though I'm not a fan of hers, I get what you're talking about in terms of, because she does have a personality that is kind of magnetic in terms of, you know, you want to see, like, you know, what her next move is going to be, what she's going to say, whatnot. You know, so I can give her that. I think she's, like, one of those kind of people where she's a much better, to me, she's much better outside the ring than she is inside the ring. But I can totally see what you're saying. And about fans becoming wrestlers, that's always been my beef about with Bayley especially, and I see it with Sasha. But mostly with Bayley, though, because whenever I see Bayley, I just see someone who seriously just can't believe that she's here right now. So
I will never understand the appeal of her, ever. I don't get it. Never will.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when she was in NXT, it was kind of cool seeing her, but I don't know. Like, I'm with you on that, because I was kind of like, you know, with Bayley, it was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, it's Bayley. But I never, like, invested my time into her. And I guess now, because I'm, like, wondering, okay, wait, are y'all must really are investing a lot into her, because... And I know we're going to get into it in a minute. Big win at Roblox. Big win at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, like, trying to figure out, like, hey, what's the next chapter? But hopefully this will come to a situation where we get a Sasha Banks heel turn.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah. But we shall see. And in the main event, we had Bobby Roode and Nakamura. Good match. With Bobby Roode retaining, did you not think that during Bobby Roode's entrance, the first lady showed the piano? Did you not think that was Adele for a second?
I wasn't really paying that much attention to it.
I swear I thought that was Adele for a second. I'm like, wait, they got Adele playing the piano for Bobby Roode? You know, like for, it looked like her for a hot minute, bro.
That was an underwhelming entrance.
Compared to his choir?
Yeah. Compared to everything he's really done. I don't know. And we'll get into it again later, too, when we talk about Mania. But, man, entrances were just not on point this year for me.
I think, Yeah. I see what you mean. So I'm thinking about it right now, too. Yeah, a little bit. I think 31 probably had the best entrances.
31?
Yeah.
Well, because, like, we'll finish NXT and then we'll talk about it.
All right, yeah. Yeah, so anyways, yeah, so Bobby Roode, he retained. Good match. It was Nakamura's, apparently his last match in NXT on TV.
Yep.
We'll get to that in a minute. How'd you enjoy it?
I loved it. I thought it... So this whole weekend turned out better than I expected, but then, again, I came in with, like, no expectation.
Yeah, you're
right.
You're really low.
Yeah, the NXT card as a whole was kind of blah to me, but when it played out, then I was thoroughly happy with the show. You know, all the title matches were really good, which is, you know, what we're looking for, right? We want those ones to excel. You know, we had a couple good matches outside of it. Overall, I was happy with the way NXT happened and all the outcomes.
Nice. Yeah, it was a good show. It was a really good show. A good crowd, too. You know, they were hype, obviously. Yep. They were into it and everything.
Yeah, the only shocking result to me was Asuka retaining. I honestly thought she was going to lose. And then get called up.
Okay.
So that was a surprise. That was nice.
Yeah. Did your boys, did they go to the NXT?
Yeah.
They went to everything? Hall of Fame?
Yeah. They did a travel package. They got everything.
Oh, okay. Word. Okay, that's good shit.
If you re-watch NXT, there's a guy sitting camera side, top right, most of the time, wearing a pink Bret Hart shirt. That's my homie. And you can tell it's him, because he sticks out with that pink shirt.
I was going to say, everybody in the arena wearing black shirts and gray shirts and shit, you know, him motherfucker wearing pink. So it's like, we're going to see you, homie, my man.
Yeah. So if you rewatch it, you can't miss him.
That's dope. You said top right?
Top right.
All right. I'm going to look out. All right. And now, what we're all here for, WrestleMania 33, baby. Bam, 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 bam. Okay, I'm done. No, yeah, good. It was good shit. How was the bowling alley? How was Lucky Stripes?
Lucky Strike, first of all, not Stripes.
Same, whatever.
It was dead. There was nobody there.
A word?
Yeah, because the last time I watched Mania there was 30.
Yeah.
And it was, like, packed. There was, like... So, I had asked a homegirl, Martha. You know Martha.
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 Oh, Martha. Yeah. The model.
Yeah. So her friend is, like, the general manager of Lucky Strike out here. And so I wanted to go watch, but they had, like, limited TVs. So I was like, all right, I'm going to need, like, to be in front of a TV for me to go. If not, I'm just going to watch it at home.
Right.
So she hit up her homie, and he was like, yeah, like, they can totally join our group. You know, we'll have, and of course, they're going to have, like, the prime seat, right? And I was like, all right, cool. So she's like, yeah, you can go. Like, if your homies want to go, it's all good. I'm like, dope. So me and two of my homies went out. And then, so we ended up getting lunch first, and then we headed over a little bit early, so we watched the pre-show. And we got there, and there was nobody there.
Wow.
And then, so I went to the bar, and I asked, like, the bartender, and I was like, hey, is it open seating for WrestleMania? And they're like, yep. And so there was a booth that was right in front of a TV, and so me and my homies just kind of posted up right there. So I didn't even see Martha's homie, so.
See, because when you told me a couple weeks ago that you were watching it like that, I'm like, dude, you're gonna get so freaking irritated with, like, everybody and mama there. It's gonna be packed. You can't hear nothing. You're gonna be hearing people hitting strikes in the background and whatnot. And
they're gonna
throw on some, some little Uzi Vert on the jukebox. They still have jukeboxes.
I think so.
I doubt Uzi's in the jukebox, but you know, I mean, like, I'm like,
Uzi's not in the jukebox.
Probably Conway Twitty. But I'm like, dang, he's gonna be annoyed as hell, man. He's gonna be mad. He's gonna just go home and shit. But not the complete opposite.
Well, sans the freaking dude that sat behind me.
Wait, hold on. Was he super fan, or was he? You know, they should bring back Coco Beware. Remember him?
I don't know how to explain him. So he came in. He came in kind of by himself, right? And then I think some people joined him. I don't know if they were homies or if they just saw, like, we were all kind of crowding around one TV, right? And so so this dude comes in, Shawn Michaels shirt, right? I'm like, all right, Shawn Michaels shirt. Right, he has a Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then...
I know where this is going.
I mean, he was cool for, like, most of the night. And then, like... Then he started, like, saying how the couples match was going to be the best match of the night and all that. And I'm like, what? And like all this, he just kept going on and on about like this and that. And I was like, oh, bro, I don't know if he was like trolling us or what, but he seemed pretty like, you know, pretty intent about how like it was probably the best match of the night. And I'm sitting there like, dude, have we been watching the same show?
Right. He was like invested in that shit like that.
Oh my goodness, Jesus. Bro. He was like, ugh, I don't, we'll talk about it when we get to that part, because I'm like hella mad about it.
was he one of those guys who like just constantly would like, he would say, just say things to get your attention?
Yes.
And then get your response. I freaking, that is a pet peeve of mine. It's like, fam, just seriously, we don't need the extra combo. We don't need it.
Right.
It's cool. We can just exist, man, bro.
Right, chill. Right. And he was kind of like doing his own commentary too. And I was like, come on. And then like my group would say something and then he would say it like right after. And I was like, and I don't think he was like handicapped or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know,
because
you know how sometimes, you know, that's just their nature. That's fine. Yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to hate on you for that.
Right.
But
right.
I don't think he was, I think he was just, you know, just one of the boys just trying to watch wrestling. But he also may have just been one of those people that like maybe doesn't actually watch wrestling with other people.
Right.
You know, maybe he just watches it at home or whatever the case is. But like, bro, there was at one point I was just like, I almost went off on him and was just like, bro, you need to just chill. Like, it's not that serious right now.
The thing is, what I love is like, I can picture your face. I can picture you feel like, this motherfucker is not stopping. Like, I can picture you annoyed as hell. Oh, man, that's wild as hell, man. That's good shit. I had some folks, I had some guys over. We had a nice little situation. My niece Carissa came over. She's a big wrestling fan. Bunch of people from the mid card came over, like David Diaz. Shout out to David Diaz. E-Man came over. My boy KC came over. This dude L came over. My frat brother Ernest came over. And his wife, Therese. David brought his friend Mike as well too. I think his name is Mike. Thanks. So we had a nice little group. Oh, yeah, my boy Sam, he came over as well, too. So we had a nice situation. I bought pizza. I bought wings, chips, pop, and whatnot. And, you know, they all brought liquor. So it was a good situation. It was a really good group and everything. I was going to try and see if I could, like, entice you a little bit to come out, you know, to fight out for it. But I knew you got L.A. coming up and everything. So, you know what I'm saying? I knew that was happening. But it was good. It was a really good, relaxed environment, and it was cool. It was really cool and everything. It was my first time actually having like a WrestleMania party with like my friends like that. Because I've had WrestleMania parties before in the past, but they were with like Christina's family.
Okay.
And so like I couldn't really
low key.
Yeah, it was low key. And I couldn't really wild out. I couldn't act ignorant. I could, like, you know, be on some, like, ultra wrestling nerd type shit, you know what I'm saying? Where I'm right. That reminds me of Todd back in Survivor Series 1992 when he was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? I couldn't nerd out like that because everybody would look at me like I'm growing a third eye. So, right. But with this group, though, you know, you could nerd out. So that felt kind of good. Mania starts. The kickoff match we get is Neville and Austin Aries.
Yep.
And not gonna lie, I expected a little bit more from this match, but it did do the job though. It still was entertaining, and you know, and Neville he retained his title, but I think it's because like maybe it's like because this is like essentially it was Austin Aries' you know comeback match after being injured. So you know, like when you take that into consideration, it's like he's been hurt, so. And this is a pretty big, stage to make your comeback on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
So, yeah. No, it was a good match, decent match to open up the show, kind of get people hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any qualms with it. Yeah. There was a, I think Aries got like dropped on his neck once or twice, which I thought was kind of ugh.
I think
one of those German suplex things that that Neville was doing. But other than that, I thought it was a decent match. You know, Neville retains. Good kickoff.
Yeah, it was. I hope they have a rematch though. Like
they will.
At least the next not this pay per view, but well, I don't know. Maybe at Payback, like they have a rematch. That would be good.
Okay.
All right. and then after that, we have the fourth annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. 20 of the top lower than mid card wrestlers on the card, and so Mojo Riley, he wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And of course, like, you know, there's celebrity shenanigans that are involved, where Jinder Mahal had a little bit of back and forth with Rob Gronkowski from the New England Patriots, tight end for the New England Patriots. This was very 1995 Bam Bam Bigelow and LT that took place. And I wonder if, because what happened was that Mojo, for those who didn't watch it, Mojo was in the ring, and Mojo is a real life friend of Rob Gronkowski. I guess they like go back way back. Like,
yeah, they're like homies.
Yeah, like legit. Like their dads were college roommates. Like, and they like grew up together, so they are like legit friends. And Rob was ringside watching everything, and Jinder Mahal came outside to the ring, and he saw a jaw jacket with Gronkowski, and he took Gronk's beer and kind of like, you know, splashing his face and whatnot. Gronk jumped the railing, got into the ring. Oh, what was hilarious about that?
That security lady.
Ooh, that was great.
That security lady. Someone must have not filled her in, or she forgot.
No. Yeah, she was not smart enough, because she flew over there and said, "Get your ass back over the over the railing." She stand to tackle Gronk.
Yes, and she was probably like 5'2",
right?
Like 120.
Right, exactly. And then you see a sea of officials get her the fuck out of there. They're like, "No, this is part of the storyline. Get out of this way. This part of the storyline, girl." And I'm like, man, I can't even hate on her, man, because she was doing her damn job. You know what I mean?
She was
doing her damn job. She was on it, though, man. But that, I was cracked. Because the way she came over, I was like, whoa, that looked a little... wait a minute. She really thinks this is not supposed to be happening. She don't know!
right. Because even if there is interference, they don't do anything, right?
Right.
If it's supposed to happen, they just kind of like, oh, they just let it go. And you're like, all right.
Yeah.
But no, she beeline straight to Gronk. She was holding up against the barrier and was just like...
She went up to Gronk like she was trying to get a raise. Like, she like, I got kids at home that I'm trying to put through school. I'm going through a divorce.
Yeah, you never know, though. It's WrestleMania. Like, you can't have anything go wrong.
Right, exactly. She's like, I'm trying to impress my bosses, goddammit.
Yeah, she's in full work mode at that point. But yeah, that was hilarious.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Gronk gets into the ring after, you know, being clear, getting the clear, and he does a 3-point stance, hits Jinder Mahal with the shoulder tackle. I'm pretty sure Bill Belichick was at home shitting his pants watching that.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, please don't hurt yourself again. Shit. And then, Mojo got Jinder Mahal out. And then I think it was just the big guy who was left. And then Mojo got him out. And then, yeah, Mojo wins.
Yep, stupid. Hated it. Hate every minute of it.
Why is that, bro?
Because why would Mojo Riley win that for one? Like, just pointless. Basically, everything that you've built, like Braun Strowman to be, and all these big guys, like they're absolutely nothing, pretty much.
I hear you.
You know, and I'm just like, why? Like, why? I understand they're going for two things. One, they're going for shock value. Oh, snap, Mojo Rawley won. And right. Two, oh, we got Gronkowski, and he was on WrestleMania. Like, right. That's going to get your views. I get it. As a wrestling fan, I'm just like, this is so stupid. Like, because once Big Show got eliminated, I was like, all right, it's going to be Braun Strowman, exactly. Sami Zayn. Exactly. One of those two,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, exactly.
That's the wrestling guy in me. And then you got to be like, oh, well, it's WrestleMania. So what kind of PR stunt are you going to do? You know, and then I just remember watching Jinder, like, walk out of the ring. I'm like, what is he doing?
Right.
You know, and then he walks over, and then I'm like, oh, because, I see where this is going.
Yeah, because he threw Mojo through the second ropes.
Right, so it's not an elimination.
Right, and then he went out, but then you're right. But then when you start walking, you're like, why is he passing up Mojo? Oh, I get it.
Right, and then I was just like, here we go. WrestleMania moment.
Right.
So, yeah, not happy with the outcome of that one, but I guess we'll see what happens, because most of the winners, with the exception of Big Show, who's already, you know, a name.
Established,
kind of, kind of established himself, so we shall see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, though. Like, when Big Show was eliminated, I was like, okay, it's going to be Braun. But then when Braun got eliminated, that shocked me. I'm like, whoa, what the hell? And then I was kind of going with my original second guess, who was going to be Luke Harper. I was like, okay, maybe it might be Luke Harper. But I swear, then, like, you know, then he gets eliminated, and I'm like, I don't know who will, I really don't know who's going to win this. And KC was saying it's going to be Sammy, it's going to be Sammy, Sammy's got this. And I'm like, okay, it could be, because, you know, that could be, like, that could add on to...
Well, he said he was dedicating it to Mick Foley.
Yeah, right, exactly, that's why, exactly. So then they can kind of build on that, because they've been having that whole back and forth. But I really didn't know, though. I'm like, I don't know who's going to win this. And, dog, I'm not going to lie. I did not see Mojo winning this at all. Like, that came out of nowhere to me.
Yep.
Even when he was, like, the last three in the ring. I'm like, I can't see Mojo winning this shit.
Nope.
I really can't, man. But WWE want to get their Sports Center moment, and they got the Sports Center moment. Yeah. Next match in the kickoff was for the Intercontinental Championship belt. Dean Ambrose defending his title against Baron Corbin. Nothing really stood out to me in this match.
Nope. I'll be honest, I don't even remember it. That's how much I was paying attention to it.
Yeah, man.
Like, I barely even remembered that Dean Ambrose retained the title.
Yeah, exactly. I think by this time I was ready for Mania to start.
Yeah, I was pretty just like, okay, let's do this.
Right. Like, okay, I'm like, let's kick it off. So yeah, so Dean Ambrose, he retains against Baron Corbin. Kind of odd, you know, with Baron Corbin being the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal last year, having a pretty significant push last year in general. But then, well, I mean, he had a title match, but on the pre-show, it's kind of like, it's kind of odd. I don't know. From a longevity standpoint, they probably got plans for him, so it's gonna take a little time.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So then, WrestleMania starts, and the New Day they are the hosts, so they open up WrestleMania. They got like that whole Final Fantasy thing going on, because I guess Final Fantasy was like one of the sponsors for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So they all came out in the Final Fantasy look. Especially with Xavier Woods, you know, with his hair wilding out the way it does. And then we open up Mania with the opening match, the Curtain Jerker, which AJ Styles against Shane McMahon. Not gonna lie to you, I was still going into this with pretty low expectations, even though like they did raise a little bit, but I was still kind of like meh about it, because I really wanted to see AJ in the actual match.
Mm-hmm.
They impressed the hell out of me. Shane impressed the hell out of me. With this.
Like, he learned wrestling moves?
It seemed like it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny, because I was texting Johnny during, and I was like, I was talking to my friends, and I was like, did he learn how to wrestle? And then, like, right after I get a text from Johnny, and it's like, did he learn how to wrestle?
Right.
He must have been talking to John Cena or something.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Because they even had chain wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? Okay. All right. I ain't mad at that. And small things, man. Small things I mark out for. They did the double clothesline. Do I miss the double clothesline, bro? Like, that is so 1992 to me. And I miss seeing that because I used to be in every match. But they don't do that anymore. And they did it in this match. I damn it freaked out. But they did a double clothesline. What? Oh, nice. So I enjoyed the hell out of that. And then we get AJ gets a victory. But before that, though, refresh my memory. Did Shane complete the Coast to Coast?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so it was AJ who didn't complete it then.
AJ went for it, and then Shane ended up hitting him with the garbage can.
Gotcha, okay.
And then Shane set him up for it and hit it.
Gotcha, got it. Okay, I couldn't remember which way it went with that, but with that call. Okay, that's cool. And then Shane went for the elbow and missed, right?
On the table? On the table? No, I think he hit it.
He did hit it?
From what I can remember.
Well, I know he hit it on, well, he quote unquote hit it on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think he might have missed it. But anyway, all right. But yeah, but AJ got that victory over Shane McMahon.
Yep.
So that was really good to see. That was good to see.
Yep, I was happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Next match was for the United States Championship match. Mm-hmm. And that was Chris Jericho defending his title against Kevin Owens. And, you know, another pretty solid match. This was, like, you know, this classic Jericho. Really doing, like, you know, the, really doing, like, you know, what he's supposed to do in terms of, like, you know, making his opponent look good, putting him over and everything. Real quick, what was so special about Jericho's entrance? Because everyone's been freaking out about how great his entrance was.
His entrance?
Yeah.
You're the first person that I've heard say anything about it.
Okay, all right. Because I keep seeing online, like, people have been praising been talking about the entrance. And I'm just like, I watched it twice. I didn't see anything too special. I know it did the countdown. So maybe that's what they're talking about.
Jericho's did the countdown.
That's what I'm talking about.
You said Kevin Owens.
That's it, Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's why I was so confused.
Oh, no, I meant Jericho.
Oh, no, Jericho had the old school Jericho countdown.
Okay, so that's what it was, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm like, okay, all right, I remember that part of it, but maybe that's what it is. All right, I got you. So yeah, we got it.
Yeah. They did that whole thing, full countdown from 10.
Yeah. Okay, that was cool. Yeah, good match. Kevin Owens wins. He wins the belt.
Yeah, Kevin Owens wins.
Yeah, so he defeats Jericho, wins the U.S. Championship belt. Next match we have is the Raw Women's Fatal 4-Way. Oh, yeah. So we have Bayley defending her championship against Charlotte Flair, against Sasha Banks, and against my baby mama, Nia Jax. So, Nia was eliminated pretty quick.
Probably, she took some big bumps, too. I was impressed.
Yeah. I just don't, you know, I know I've talked about this a couple of times and everything. I just don't like the way they book big girls. I don't like it. Because it's like WWE's booking 101 for big women is, you know, just roll over them and just step in front of them and just fall on them and you're big, you're huge, you're a giant, so you hurt. Oh. And but the thing is that, like, when you watch big chicks wrestle in, like, ROH, they don't wrestle like that in WWE and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, like, are, like, moving around and actually, like, doing movesets and everything. And the thing is that I just feel like Nia has so much more to offer. you know, in terms of, like, her abilities, but I just feel like it's being held back because they're like, you're big, so be big. And she's like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? Just go out there and be big. Well, do you want me to hit this move? No, no, be big. Big. You know, like. So anyway, I'm sorry. Scott's got a problem with that. But you're right, though. Yeah, she did take some pretty crazy bumps, like that one, because they hit that triple suplex on her, right?
They did like the shield power bomb to her.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So they did that, which was kind of cool. They took her out. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Take out the big person.
Yeah, be big. Yeah.
And then the rest of the match was super disappointing.
The one thing I did not like was missing the spot with the turnbuckle pad.
Right?
Because
it's exposed. I'm like, it's not exposed.
I'm like, it's not exposed. It's still there hanging on. And it's still, like, most of it is pretty covered significantly. You know what I'm saying?
They sold it hard, though. Sasha Banks sold it real hard.
True. Yeah, she had to. She had, like, she got whiplash and shit. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I did like that it was an elimination match, though. That wasn't a one fall, so that was cool. But Sasha got the she got a face full of exposed turnbuckle padding, and she was pinned by Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
And then Bayley, a few minutes later, gets the win, and that's what I'm saying. It's like y'all must have something really big in store for her because you had Charlotte go on this real, you know, pretty impressive pay-per-view streak, even piquing our interest as fans, like, oh, damn, is this gonna be the pay-per-view she loses it at? Is this gonna be the pay-per-view? Like we were getting to a point where we were getting very interested in it. It gets cut. It gets, it stops. Bayley beats her at Roadblock, of all places. And then Bayley beats her again at WrestleMania and retains the belt. I'm just very curious to see what the end result's gonna be because there has to be some like a payoff. But I don't know if there's gonna be. I don't really know what it is because it looks like that Charlotte's gonna have a program with Nia.
Yeah, unless this superstar shakeup on Monday is gonna do something.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about that. All right, but yeah, so Bayley retains. She is still your. She is still your WWE Raw Women's Champion.
Disappointed. I was really disappointed in that.
You really want Charlotte to win?
I wanted anyone to win other than Bayley. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah.
One of my homies that I was with was super happy because he actually knows Bayley personally.
Oh, word?
Yeah, they used to wrestle together in California.
No shit.
Yeah, so he was like super happy about
it. Okay. So you only talk shit about her in front of him, do you?
Nope, I do, 100%.
I'm not gonna let a little nostalgia or a little old school friendship stop deter me from being a dick.
He's a worker. He knows how it is.
He's a what?
He's a worker, so he knows how it goes.
Does he still wrestle?
He does a little bit, not like a lot. He was wrestling a little bit here, and then he started wrestling for. 3-2-1 battle, which is like our crazy one over here. He started wrestling for them, and then he hasn't done a lot recently, but I think he's trying to get back into it again.
Okay. Swole?
No, not really. He's like a tall dude.
Yeah.
He's not like ripped by any means, but he's just like big, tall, Native American guy. Big old dude, but he can do a 450.
Wait, was that the... Did you have a friend who... Wait, that was Mata, right? Weren't you friends with Mata?
I wasn't friends with Mata. I have a homie that's friends with Mata.
Okay, alright.
Yeah.
Alright, that's what came in my head for some reason when you said big, tall, and Native American. I don't even know Mata's Native American, is he?
He's definitely not Native American.
Sorry, Mata. My bad, man. Shout out to Mata.
He listens to the show.
What is he?
I think he's probably Middle Eastern of sorts, or like one of like Persian maybe, or
gotcha
Egyptian.
Gotcha.
One of those countries.
Okay. Cool. The next, quite possibly, arguably the biggest markout moment of the night, the week, the month, the Raw Tag Team Championship match, Triple Threat Ladder match. We had Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, the champions, defending their titles against Sheamus and Cesaro against Enzo Amore and Big Cass. However, what is this? The New Day comes out, makes an announcement, said this match is going to be now a fatal four-way. And I fell for the okie doke because
they were all dressed up.
They were in the ring gear. I'm like, oh, okay, they are gonna wrestle tonight. Nice.
Yep.
Did you fall for it too?
Sure did. Well, I fell for it when they first came out to do the opening segment.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're like dressed to wrestle.
Wait, you talking about the opening of the show or
Yeah. The opening of the show.
Okay.
And I was like, they were wearing wrestling gear. And I was like, yeah, they're totally going to have a match tonight.
Because they weren't in suits. You're right. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, yep, they're wrestling tonight sometime.
Right. So when they came out and say they're going to fail four-way, you're like, okay, they're going to insert themselves into the match.
Yep.
And that did not happen.
Ooh,
they said, we got another team adds this match. And what did you hear? Freaking the Hardy Boys, man. What the hell? The Hardy Boys have come back. They are back in the WWE and everybody erupts.
Dude, I ran around Lucky Shot.
I got your text about that. I was cracking up. Oh my god, man. So you freaking like went nuts, didn't you?
Oh yeah, because I mean I was sitting there and because I knew that the Hardys had dropped the ROH titles like the night before.
Yeah.
And so I was like, their return has to happen. I feel
you
like.
Think of Monday though, right?
Right, Monday something, right? So I'm like, all right, whatever. So then I'm watching it and like New Day's kind of, you know, they keep teasing that they might be in the match.
Yeah.
And then like, and they're like, and the team is, and then like when the music hit, I was like, no way.
I'm not going to lie. It didn't like, it for a split second, it didn't register with me until I saw Jeff Hardy's logo on the screen. Like the music just is not registered to me at first. But then like when I saw, oh my God, like that's when like, you know, it was pandemonium. We freaking like went nuts, dude. Like, and like we all just like lost it. It was so ridiculous. What did old boy behind you, annoying guy, say?
I don't even know. I wasn't even paying attention to him at that point.
I know, but that was the thing. Was that like it was so surreal because like what you said, you know, they just dropped the ROH belt the night before. You're thinking, okay, like all the rumors are kind of coming together in terms of they might be back in WWE soon, but you're thinking Monday, you're thinking maybe Tuesday or whatnot.
Right.
Oh my God, I did not see that. That was so great. It just made that tag team match, like that much better. You know, that it kind of took me back to the match itself overall was so super entertaining to watch and very reminiscent of WrestleMania 17 with, Edge Christian, the Dudleys, and the Hardys. You know, like, very reminiscent of that match and everything. So, even with the Jeff Hardy spot with that super ladder on the outside, which looked incredible.
Yeah.
Man, G. And, you know, okay, here's my thing, though. You know what's crazy?
What's that?
I was watching it, right? I'm watching the match while it's happening. Obviously, everyone's pumped, everyone's happy, everyone's excited, and everything like that. One thing I find is very interesting, how many people they said was there? Like 75,000?
75, something, yeah.
75,000 people were doing delete during the match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where were they for TNA? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's so weird how it's like, everybody knows that, but everyone's not watching TNA like that, though.
Nobody watched TNA like that, but everybody watched Broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's true. Because we, yeah, because that was was it like Ultimate Deletion or Final Deletion?
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, that shit was entertaining. That was so different.
Right, because even because nobody, nobody really watches TNA. Let's be honest. But when the first Broken Matt Hardy stuff started coming out, everyone's like, "This is so weird."
Yeah,
like, everyone kept watching it. So
right.
Yeah, so that's where everyone saw it. Like, so you didn't, I mean, you didn't technically have to watch TNA.
True. Yeah.
You just knew that Broken Matt Hardy was weird and everyone was loving it, so you just jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah. No, that's real. I was like, man, 75,000 people know about delete, but they're not watching TNA though. But I know what you mean though. I'm not gonna lie. I used to be an avid TNA watcher. I used to I would look forward to Thursday nights. I miss that. Like, I miss being able to, like, you know, really be able to speak intelligently about what's happening in TNA currently the way I used to, but I have not, bro. I don't know, man. I just can't, like, get into it the way I used to.
There's nothing good about it. I will tell you that much right now.
When was the last time you watched it? You watched it recently?
Like 3 weeks ago?
Like a little bit of it?
No, I watched the whole episode.
Really? Who's yep. champion? Damn.
Who is the champion? I don't even remember.
Damn.
Because they do the tapings, right? So Del Rio had this thing where, like, he won because he beat Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he like didn't anymore. It was really awkward. So then he, like, dropped the title. I think Lashley was the last time I checked.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what they're doing over there now with freaking, what's his face? Josh Matthews? Is they're doing the Michael Cole thing where he's, like, the heel announcer that everyone hates. And, like, okay. He, like, goes into the ring and, like, you know, like, cuts promos and stuff.
Okay. I did, you know what? The last time I saw wasn't too long ago, but I saw that he was, like, going back and forth with Jerry Borash. Like they were arguing on the air, and I was like, how come they're not calling the match?
Right, yeah. So they're doing that now, which, remember, one of the reasons he left WWE was for that
crap? Yeah, right. Now he's doing it.
Yep.
Good Lord, man. All right, so new champs!
New champs.
The Hardy Boys, they win the tag team champions on Raw, and they are now your Raw tag team champions.
And WWE is allowing them to fulfill their bookings.
Oh, they're still doing their indie shit?
Yep.
Oh, word. That's love. Yeah. Okay.
I think they have like 3 or 4 shows that WWE is allowing them to fulfill those contracts.
I bet you those promoters are going to be so fucking happy because they're going to make so much freaking money at those shows.
Yeah. Yep.
They're going to make bank. So that's really good for the promoters. That's good shit.
Yeah.
And now, I'm not sure if WWE was trying to go for, you know, let's capture some WrestleMania 6 magic with this match. WrestleMania 6 that had Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire against Macho King and Sherry. WrestleMania 33, fast forward many years later, has John Cena and Nikki Bella against The Miz and Maurice. Huge Miz fan. I love The Miz. The Miz needs to be the WWE champion again, bro.
He does.
He really needs, seriously. Like, he literally has, the entire package is complete. And I understand, like, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago before, that I feel that when Miz was champion before, whomever booked him to become champion had the foresight to see what he had, what he could potentially become, and that is what he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And because he has reached that potential, he has to become a WWE champion again. And so, after all these weeks of the insults and the fake total Bellas, and all the and all the roasting that he was doing, you know, now we're down to this tag match. The problem I had with this match, aside from the obvious, the problem I had with this match was that they booked this match like a filler match, like a break.
It was.
You know what I mean? Like, the booking of this match was not a real booked match. This was just so this way you can get your drink. This was a bathroom break match. This really what it was. And I feel that with the story that this match had, deserved a little bit more respect.
What do you think? No.
Not with the story?
I think that match should have been like on SmackDown. That's not a WrestleMania match. What they should have done was they should have had that match on SmackDown, and then they should have had Miz fight John Cena one on one at WrestleMania.
I'm with that.
That's what they should have done. But they didn't, which is fine. I mean, it's over now, so what can you do?
Right.
But that's what they should have done, or something along those lines. Like, Nikki Bella sucks.
Yeah.
She's improved a lot. I'll give her that. But she's not a WrestleMania wrestler.
No.
And this literally is everything that Miz was saying, that she's only where she is because of John Cena. Like, right. Which is 100% true, I think. Like, she looks good, so she has that. Her wrestling ability is pretty terrible. Her mic skills are not that great.
Right.
And her boyfriend, now fiancé, just happens to be John Cena.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you're going to go places because of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, exactly. I mean, you look at Maurice and The Miz, and if you look at it on paper, Maurice is technically more successful than The Miz.
Ooh.
In the WWE.
Please elaborate. Please.
Well, because she has more title reigns.
Do you mean Nikki, or you said Miz?
No, Maurice. Maurice is more. No. That's exactly what I mean. But
you said Maurice is technically more successful than The Miz?
Yes. On paper.
Oh, please indulge me on this.
Championships wise, she's got more championships, but what I'm getting at is she did it by herself.
Miz is a triple crown. A quadruple crown winner.
Okay, fine, that's great. But what I'm getting is Maurice did it by herself. Maurice didn't have anyone there. She didn't have anyone to back her like Nikki Bella has.
Okay. Hold on one second. Do you mean that Maurice is much more successful on paper than Nikki Bella?
No. I'm saying that Maurice did it by herself.
Okay.
And she didn't need The Miz to do that.
Okay, right. Oh! From a political standpoint.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. But you're making it sound like because at first your argument would sound like you're trying to compare Maurice's career to The Miz's career. And I'm just like, you can't.
Right.
That's apples and oranges.
Right.
But okay, I get what you're saying. In terms of Maurice did it all by herself in terms of her title reigns and whatnot and everything.
Correct.
She didn't need the political stroke from The Miz to make that happen. I got you. No. I got you. Okay, I'm with you. I do agree with you that I think that actually is a good idea, that the mix tab probably be on SmackDown and have the Miz and John Cena do their thing at WrestleMania to have a really good match. I would have preferred that, actually, now I'm thinking about it. Because what we got was a very poorly booked match. I absolutely hated the proposal.
So stupid.
It was It was. It really was. And I know I'm be called. I'll probably be called an asshole and everything like that. I don't care. That was dumb. It felt so disingenuous. I've seen freaking The Bachelor shit on ABC feel much more authentic than what the hell that was.
Mm-hmm.
That honestly was... And you know what's wild, bro? First of all, you can tell it was very rehearsed. And I understand we're talking about pro wrestling. I get pro wrestling is a controlled situation with a predetermined outcome. I get that. That's what pro wrestling is, and that's cool, and I still love it. But this shit just felt so, so rehearsed.
It was. Here's my thing with it. For however long that we've known that Nikki Bella and John Cena were dating, and what did she always want? I want kids. I want to get married. What did John Cena always say? No, 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 no. We're not doing it. That's not happening. We're not getting married. Blah, blah, blah. This, that, and the other. Now, you're telling me that on the biggest stage of their profession, she's going to get engaged, proposed to, and she ain't going to be like on the ground having a seizure?
Thank you.
Like at all?
Thank you.
Because this is like her lifelong dream and it's finally happening, but all she did was stand there and smile a little bit and give him a hug.
Thank you.
Like, nah. I've seen people get proposed to at like a bowling alley that showed more emotion than what she did.
Right.
So it was one, yes, 100% rehearsed, and two, Nikki Bella is the worst actor on all earth.
Fam. Dude, like,
and anyone who fell for that, Teresa, weak, weak, you're weak.
Poor Teresa.
Because you just got hit with the fakest thing on all of earth.
Dude.
Faker than Nikki Bella's tits.
Okay, right.
Yep, we went there. That just happened. That just happened.
Oh, God, dude, you ain't never lied, dude. Like, and I'm like, are you gonna even look like you give a shit? At least a little bit. I mean, nothing, man. It really was like her waiting for, you know, just going through the motions, waiting to get the ring. She was just waiting for it to happen. Like, she was like, just like, okay, I'm just going through the motions to like wait for it to happen.
Right.
And I'm just like, this is so awkward. And it came across on television like the audience didn't even give a shit.
Oh.
And I asked a couple of people who went to Mania as well too. I'm like, you know, what was? I'm like, on television, it felt like the audience just did not care. What was it like when you were there? And they said that the two guys asked. They said in our section, people really weren't like they kind of saw it coming, so they were just kind of like whatever about it.
Right.
And I believe it. I'm like, I freaking believe that. That was not Macho Man proposing to Elizabeth back in 91. That was not that at all.
No.
You know, and granted, even though they were already married at that time, they still really made that moment special when they did that. This was not it.
Nope.
And here's my thing, too. And ladies who are listening to the podcast, please, indulge me in this. Let me ask y'all a question. I'm talking to, like, you know, the likes of Carla, Teresa, Melissa. Let me ask y'all this. Casey, Dan, Chris's wife, because she listens sometimes too as well. When you are being proposed to as a woman, when you're being proposed to, this is, as a woman, this is your moment that you have been waiting for your entire life since you were a little girl. When you were sitting up in your bedroom, you know, playing with your Barbies and visualizing, like, you know, what you want your wedding to be like. So, of course, when it comes to proposals, engagements, the wedding and everything, it really is the women are the focal point because that's really their day. You know, we're just there to make a, you know, help complete the picture as men. But that's really for the woman. That's really her day, her moment. Her moment of glory, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This, to me, was like... And I granted, I understand this was not the real thing. The real thing. But to me, this was very, like... This was more for John Cena. Because we're at WrestleMania. We just won a match against an arch rival. We're in the middle of the ring in front of 75,000 people at WrestleMania once again. This was more for John Cena than it was for Nikki Bella, because John Cena, let's be honest, is synonymous with WWE, and WWE is synonymous with WrestleMania, obviously, or the other way around, I should have said, excuse me. But this was more about him. And ladies, out, you know, help me, you know, please indulge my ignorance. Is that that's not the way it's supposed to go. It's supposed to be more about, you know, the woman. Now, granted, I'm pretty sure it was, you know, hopefully it was, like, when they really did it in real life. But it still came off like this was a John Cena production. And how would y'all feel? Seriously, let us know. Email us, inbox us, comment. Let us know. How would y'all feel if your man proposed to you, but he did it, like, on some shit that he liked? Like, let's say if your man, and he probably weak as hell for this, but let's say your man's a fan of the Chicago Cubs, and he's like, I'm going to propose to my girl at the Cubs game during the seventh inning stretch in front of everybody in the bleachers, because I'm a Cub fan, and this, because I fucking like the Cubs. That's more for him. That's not for your lady. That's for him. And I'm just saying, like, you know, women, do y'all like that? And I'm sorry, but that's, like, to me, that's why I was looking at this shit with a side eye. Because I'm like, this is a John Cena production. I'm not feeling it, Jack. Not feeling it. And they just seemed very disingenuous. It felt very disingenuous. It did not feel real. It felt like, you know what it felt like, Danny? It felt like that they really were proving everything what The Miz was saying was right. This entire time. That it's all about him, that he's very robotic, that it has to be a certain way. And it really came across as that, like, damn, bro, you are just proving The Miz right.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it.
Two snaps and around the world. Bro, it was so bad. But, from a WWE corporate standpoint, it did exactly what it needed to do. Right after it happened, I got tagged in a Facebook post by someone who doesn't even watch wrestling. She goes, did you see this? I'm like, of course I saw him freaking watching WrestleMania live right now.
Wait, no, yes. I'm missing WrestleMania.
Right? But what did it do? It got people talking.
Good point.
It did exactly what it needed to do. Even my mom goes, I came home that night. She didn't say anything about it because she didn't see it. She didn't know what's going on.
Right.
Very next day, what do I hear? So John Cena proposed to his girlfriend.
Damn, Mama Fam knew about it the next day.
She saw it on TV.
Wow.
So it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Wow.
Right, because it got people talking. That's true. Snap! Like John Cena proposed. Because a lot of people that don't watch wrestling, they actually do watch Total Bellas, Total Divas, right?
Very true.
So they hit that demographic.
Yeah, that's true.
Right in that, so it was so. From that standpoint, it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, no, I got it.
So, you can't hate on that, I guess.
No. It hit the mark. It fulfilled the objective. I'm with that, because even on my post when I was like, "Is Mara really proposing?" When I wrote that, Lily Valdez. Shout out to Lily Valdez. She was watching, and she commented because she was really happy about it. But she said herself, it's a girl thing. She said it's a girl thing to see to be so happy about seeing this happen. And especially if they've been following both Total Bellas and Total Divas this entire time, it was a big deal. So, I guess.
It was stupid. I hated every second of it.
Yeah. How was it at the bar?
Nobody cared.
Don't give a shit.
Nobody cared. I literally was just sitting there, like, with my face in my hands, just like, I can't believe this is happening. This is so stupid. Like,
I know, it was almost embarrassing. I'm like, oh god, did this not happen?
Right? Stupid. Also, I called that happening like months ago.
A word?
Yeah, on the show. Remember when you were like, nah, John Cena's gonna fight for the championship? I'm like, no, he's not. You're like, there's no WrestleMania where he can't fight for the championship. I'm like, watch it happen, bro. I called it.
Wait, that same episode you said he was gonna propose?
I may have not said he was going to propose on that one, but I did say it was going to happen. I'll even go through the archive just to listen to it, just to find out.
I'm pretty sure you're right. You know what I'm saying? To me, it was just so like, this really is happening. Wow.
I think it was when he dropped the title.
Okay. Yeah.
To Bray Wyatt. Well, it was Elimination Chamber, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was like that show when I was like, watch, he's going to do this thing with Nikki and Miz, and it's going to be this whole thing, and then he's going to get engaged. It was around that time, so about February-ish.
I think I remember that, but I wish you were wrong. God, I wish you were wrong about that. Yeah, so we had to suffer through that, that robot. Oh my God, that means they're going to do the fucking wedding on WWE, aren't they?
That's probably the only part that I'm happy about, because some crazy is going to happen.
But you know what? Knowing them, though, they're probably going to be like, no, we want a non-shenanigans wedding.
There's going to be shenanigans. They probably won't do it on TV.
I don't know, man. Considering what you just said right now, they probably want to be on when Princess Diana got married. That was a big deal. When freaking Prince William got married, huge deal. They probably want to do some shit like that, like some televised.
There'll probably be some special.
It'll be a special, yeah.
About it, yeah.
It'll be like when the Kardashians when they get married every year, you know, it becomes a big old E spectacle sensation.
Right. Yeah, they might do that.
Oh, gross. Non-sanctioned rules. Let's go from the sweet shit to the most violent shit. Seth Rollins facing off against Triple H. You can't tell me that entrance wasn't hard.
It was okay.
That was dope.
It definitely wasn't Triple H's best entrance. I'll give him that.
Wasn't his best. Was not his best.
No.
But I thought it was hard though. I like the, and I even said on my Facebook post on Monday, I'm not a fan of cops, but it was raw. The way how they came out, the police escorts with the sirens going on. And it looked cool, too, just like when they were panning. That's one thing about WWE is so freaking special. Just like the way how they really recreate the environment when you're at home watching. Like, it feels so majestic. It feels like magic you're watching. Like when the camera was pulling away, and you're watching them come down the aisle, and that big ass on those two side screens that were really long, you see Triple H's figure kind of like rotating or whatever. It just looked badass,
right?
With the music and everything, it just looked so cold. So yeah, all of it, that whole thing was dope as hell. It had like he kind of had like this Sons of Anarchy feel going on.
Kind of, yeah. I can see that.
Stephanie looked hot, bro.
She looked real good.
Oh my god. That was like the best she's looked in like a long time.
Yeah?
She looked really super hot. Like, wow. Okay, yeah. Triple H, he's definitely smashing.
Obviously, they're married.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about like right after the match. Like,
oh.
Right in gorilla position, bend that ass over.
Probably not going to happen.
Get this off. King of Kings, dick in you. Oh yeah. Going back to what you were saying earlier in the show about some underwhelming entrances, The Seth Rollins joint was a little corny to me.
It was interesting. It was cool. It was the concept, I feel like, was cool. I think the delivery was kind of weird.
Maybe that's what it is, man. Because it's kind of awkward. Because I'm like, because he came out with his big ass torch in his hand. And I was like, he looked like, you know what it was? It was the torch, and it was him wearing the white Power Ranger outfit they had, the all white outfit. He looked like fucking he looked like one of those really old Greek Olympians who are running with the torch for the Olympics. It looked so weird the way it came out. But yeah, I think you're right though. Like the concept of it like was gold, but the execution of it was just kind of like, eh. All right.
Yeah. I thought it was a good concept. Like we had the torch and he lit it on fire, and then like the ring turned all red. I thought that was cool. But yeah, it did. Delivery, not so much.
Cool match. This is a really cool match. This is much better than Triple H's match last year against Roman Reigns. This is a really cool match to watch, man. This is better than Triple H's match with Sting. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a really, really cool match to watch, man. Like, they really went all out. You know, they went heavy, they went hard with this and everything. So, this was pretty dope.
Yeah, I was happy with the match. Yeah. Nothing, like, super standout, but I wasn't disappointed with it in it by any means.
Yeah.
Nice table spot by Stephanie.
That was cool.
You know, so that was cool. They did. It was old school. I mean, that's the thing about Triple H's. He's an old school guy, right? So he always incorporates that stuff into it. Because, I mean, you don't really see that kind of stuff anymore, right? Last year, you know, Roman Reigns speared Stephanie. Like, that. You never see that anymore.
Very true, yeah.
You know, so you get those spots, which are nice. Like a little old feel, like, because it's, I mean, we're in the world now where it's, you know, you gotta be careful what you do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they'll push the envelope a little bit. But you notice, you know, it wasn't Seth Rollins that did it. It was Triple H that did it.
Right.
You know, so it just happened to be that the catalyst of it was, you know, was Seth Rollins. But yeah. Triple H was that one that actually ran into his wife and the reason that she fell through the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it was a very, what's the word? I was going to say classy, but it was a very, well done match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So
yeah, I liked how, and they all like, you know, really like pulled out everything too. Like, you know, you saw Triple H doing like different, you know, he was like different submission holds I've never really seen him before and whatnot. But they pull out everything, you know, from the curb stomp to the high knee to the pedigrees and whatnot and everything. I mean, they went for it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was yeah, that was really cool, man.
Yep.
Yeah. So Seth Rollins he got the win over Triple H, which surprised me, you know, because I thought Triple H is kind of like in the position where he wants to like pad his victories, but. You know, I think
he doesn't need to, I don't think.
Yeah, no, he doesn't really need to at all. And, dude, I'm sorry, but the way how Triple H looks, he looks like he can do, like, six more WrestleManias.
Yeah. Dude is in amazing shape.
Jesus Christ, man. I'm just looking at him on Sunday like, dude, you are, like, not losing a step at all, bro.
Nope.
Shit. Like, if you really keep going this route, just, like, wrestling, like, you know, like, once or twice a year, you're gonna pass Undertaker's record.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good non-sanction match. The next match was for the SmackDown Women's Championship. We have the champion Alexa Bliss defending her championship against Natalya, Carmella, Mickie James, Becky Lynch, and Naomi.
Very rushed match.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was to me, it was a lot better than the Raw Women's Championship.
Really?
I thought so.
Oh, okay.
But it just felt very rushed to me. Just because, I mean, obviously they were fighting time, right? Because they were, I mean, they were the second to last match.
Fourth to last, but yeah.
No, they were the second to last match. The SmackDown Women's Championship was right after Goldberg.
Oh, what?
And then right before the Undertaker match.
Oh, shit. I thought that was... Oh, okay. All right, my bad.
Yeah. So, it was... Again, I felt like it was very rushed. Not happy to see Naomi win, but I know why she won.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I'm on the opposite end. I was happy to see Naomi win. I was happy to see her be back in the ring. She did a really good job. She avenged her loss. She avenged, by getting the victory over...
Well, she didn't really lose.
Yeah, right. That's why I stopped myself. She didn't really lose the belt, but, like, she didn't relinquish it. Per Alexa Bliss. But she got the victory over Alexa Bliss by getting the pin, and she won the belt. Looking good as ever, you know? I didn't really pay attention to the match, to be honest with you. I think I was getting snacks. What did you eat?
We ate sushi before.
Oh, you ain't eat there?
No.
Are you?
I didn't want to eat bar food.
Are you weird like me, where you, like, where you, okay, like, I'm weird, right? Like, we all know I'm really weird already, but I'm really weird where, like, on Monday nights, when the wrestling's coming on, I don't touch my dinner until wrestling starts. Are you like that?
No.
Okay. Like,
No, I'm not that way.
Like during the kickoff, like, all the food, like, at my house was all laid out. I wouldn't touch anything until WrestleMania started. Like, I would not make my plate. I didn't make my plate until Chris Jericho's match. I'm just weird like that. I don't know. But so you didn't eat at the Lucky Strike?
Mm-mm.
Did you have a drink?
Yeah.
What were you sipping?
Just beer.
Oh. Gotcha.
We had all you can eat sushi before, so I wasn't hungry nor thirsty.
True. Yeah, that's true. Oh man, I'll eat sushi. That sounds so good right now.
Yeah, because I was talking to my homies about it, and I was like, we can either eat there, or we can eat before. So we ended up eating before because, like I said, I didn't want to eat bar food. Have, like, a gut bomb before, right. And then, like, you know, then you're just sitting there, and I hate, like, when I'm watching movies, like, in the theater, I hate leaving, you know, so, like, I try to limit my drink intake, food intake, just so I don't have to leave to go to the bathroom or anything like that, so I'm like, I'm just gonna chill.
Yeah. Damn, I don't mean to be in your pocket, but how much was that, all you eat sushi?
Depending on which one you get, you have two choices, so it's either 18 or 28, depending.
Damn. Oh, this is so worth it, man. I'm telling you, I can annihilate sushi. Like, I can, like, they probably tell me to leave. Like, they'd probably be like, we have nothing else left, so you need to go, sir.
next time you come back here, I'll take you to this place.
Man, I can't wait, man, because I know, I know it's gonna be super fresh out there, too! I love sushi. I really like sushi a lot. Like, I like it a lot. I just don't get it a lot because,
Because you live in Chicago.
Well, right.
I mean, I wouldn't trust any sushi that comes from Chicago.
But the thing is, though, is that, like, because to me, I could just plow through so much sushi by myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, we gotta hit that up, bro. We gotta hit that up. For the WWE Championship, we have Bray Wyatt, the champion, defending his title against the challenger and the 2017 Royal Rumble winner, Mr. Randy Orton.
Probably the most disappointing match for me. Because it was, like, the only match I was looking forward to seeing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was not that good.
It felt like you... Just kind of like what you said a minute ago about the women, this felt it ended very abruptly.
Yeah, it was just like one RKO, and it was like, okay,
yeah,
we're done.
Right. It was like almost like something went wrong.
Could be. I didn't really think of it that way, but for me it was like, okay, the psychology of it was great, right? They had all the weird like bugs and stuff. I thought that was cool. Yeah. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
Right? Cuz you're like, "Oh, snap, like all the Sister Abigail stuff's happening." Yeah. And like, but then if Bray Wyatt can't beat Randy Orton with that, then what's even the point anymore?
Right.
Of having Bray Wyatt as a character like that.
Right. It can't, because exactly, because it obviously is a failure now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you looked at like the Undertaker, right? Undertaker back in the day, he'd earn all that stuff. He had all these weird powers and stuff, and like you couldn't beat him. Like right. You thought he was done, and then Paul Bearer raises the urn, and he like, you know, he like gets back up. You're like, oh snap! Like I thought we killed him, but he's back now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So then you're thinking, man, like Randy Orton destroyed Bray Wyatt's house, like, you know, his sister was all buried in this place, and now, like, you've burned her out, and, like, her spirit is out somewhere, and you're thinking, right. Man, there's some crazy stuff happening,
yeah.
And then he loses, and you're right. Just like, all
right. Right, that's a good, you know, and that's a good-ass point, too, you're right, because what they could have done, you're absolutely right, I didn't think about that, when Orton burned his house down, that could have been the release of the spirits. And that could have been incorporated into why we were seeing the images that we were seeing in the ring,
right?
And then we saw the mealworms, and we saw something else, and we saw cockroaches,
mm-hmm.
And then for the final, you know, hurrah, you know, you could have had like the ring start shaking,
something,
and then Sister Abigail appears or whatever they may have you or some kind of distraction, some kind of very tangible distraction. And Bray gets to win. Because you're absolutely right. Because that's the thing is that, like, okay, well, if obviously these things are not working on Randy Orton, then what's the point? Because Orton has had his number for the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think when we're doing our predictions, we know we both said Bray will win.
Yep.
And to me, because I am an Orton fan, I was just surprised that he won. So, and I was happy that he won. I was happy to see him become the WWE champion again. So, but it wasn't until like much later when I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. That was kind of odd.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you wonder, like, was an audible called?
Maybe.
Because it didn't feel like it fit, so... I don't know, like, no, like, right, and Randy Orton, he did the RKO on the outside and whatnot, and obviously that didn't count, but, like, right, I mean, the RKO literally came out of nowhere. There really was no type of dramatic build-up to the end. It was that last image of the cockroach, a couple of moves, RKO, done. That was it.
Mm, yep.
It's like, whoa, that's it?
And it really was. Super disappointing.
Yeah, so, oh, that kind of blew. But yeah, but Randy Orton becomes the new WWE champion.
13 times.
13 times. 13 times a man. He's tied with Triple H now, right?
Trips is at 13, I think. Yeah, 13 or 14.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And speaking of championships, for the Universal Championship, hey, do they not call the WWE Universal title anymore? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's just a Universal Championship.
Yeah, that's interesting. Brock Lesnar is challenging Goldberg for his Universal Championship. I'm gonna be honest with you, I was very pleased, obviously, with the outcome. I was very pleased that they actually gave us a little something extra than what we've gotten before in the past. I was happy to see Brock Lesnar beat that ass and get the redemption that he deserved. I can see why Goldberg was kind of campaigning this match to be a bloodbath, because it really was like, you know, like a very boom, boom, boom. This match reminded me of like a Michael Bay movie. Like if Michael Bay booked the match, he booked this match. Because it was very boom, 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 big move, big move, big move, big move, big move, big move, suplex, spear, suplex, spear. It was very, very big. And it didn't, like, last. Obviously, it didn't last that long. But yeah, but it was, I felt for what it was and what they were working with, and them having a senior citizen in the ring defending his title, they gave us the best of what they could deliver to us.
Yeah, it was okay. I wasn't that much of a fan of it. Mm-hmm. But that's just me.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Because I'm a douche and... it was I don't know. I was not happy going into it. I'm glad Brock Lesnar won.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that's over and we don't have to see it anymore.
Right. Right. You see Goldberg's his Instagram on Monday morning?
No.
He was at breakfast and he was like saying that I guess he has a lot more in the tank.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm trying. I'm like, what?
I'm good on that.
How about you? Take the rest of what's in the tank and just go back home.
For real.
Because I'm sorry, Goldberg was not needed. He just wasn't needed. He wore his welcome.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we get it, bro. The nostalgia was cute back in November, but we're in a different era right now where. We know fans want to see they want to see stories, they want to see wrestling, and they want to see characters that they are invested in right now. And to me, Goldberg is a reminder of the 90s, and he just doesn't fit. He does not fit at all in the WWE model.
Nope.
You know what I mean? So yeah, so they keep that. But it was good to see Brock win the title. There's rumor and innuendo going around that he won't be back until Payback.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, I'm not really surprised, but
yeah.
the way how they did Raw though, I'm like, you know, we'll be all right. We'll be okay. And then for your main event, the headlining main event at WrestleMania 33, we have in a grudge match. Classic grudge match between two behemoths, the immovable force against the irresistible object. Roman Reigns versus the Phenom, The Undertaker. This was good, man. What? Hey, man! Hey, man! You can say what you want, bro. This was a good-ass match.
Okay.
This is what, fam. With everything I watched that last week about why this match was going to be matched tonight proved me right.
False.
Truth.
No, that match was not match of the night. First of all,
this was not match of the night.
No, the tag match was the match of the night.
I'm going to challenge you on this. When you woke up Monday morning. And I want you to answer this. Please answer this with honesty. When you woke up Monday morning, what was everyone talking about?
They were not talking about that match. They were talking about the fact that Undertaker had retired.
Right. But what is the footnote to that? I answer for you. This match. Roman Reigns.
Oh, because it was his last match, obviously.
Right.
That's going to be a footnote to it.
This is the match of the night.
No, it's not.
Damn, it is.
No, it's
this
not.
What,
it's...
This is the entire world was talking about this the next day. And of course, when people were like, wait, the Undertaker still wrestles? Yes. He retired? Yes. Who did he face? Bam.
Doesn't make it match of the night. It makes it the fact that everyone was really surprised that the Undertaker is still wrestling.
This is the
does it make it match of the night at all?
Because all those people who said, "Damn, Undertaker's still wrestling." Yes, who'd he beat or who'd he wrestle? Roman Reigns. They're gonna subscribe to WWE Network. They're gonna go to WrestleMania 33 so they can relive their childhood fantasy to see their
They're gonna go on YouTube. They're gonna go on YouTube and just watch it there.
Okay,
they're not gonna subscribe.
Okay, but okay, when they go on YouTube and they pull it up.
But they're not going to watch it for the match. They don't care about the match.
They're going to want to see the Undertaker's very last match in the WWE.
And they're going to watch it, and they're going to say, that match really sucked. And they probably should have never wrestled it. It was a terrible match. It was so boring.
Like, what?
Dude, it was not good. The storytelling was terrible. The only good part about it was the chair shots. And basically Roman Reigns, like, at the very end when he was like, when he kept beating the Undertaker, right? That was kind of symbolic. Outside of that, that whole match was so bad.
What about when Roman Reigns was trying to put away the Undertaker? And like,
we didn't get anything from the Undertaker. And I understand that he's old and he can't move the way he does anymore. We didn't get old school from him. His last ride was like, you must be this tall to ride it, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't get that one reversal out. They tried twice, and he just fell. He's obviously not going to jump over the top rope anymore, but we didn't get that. You didn't get any classic Undertaker.
But
we didn't even get a choke slam. We didn't even get a choke slam. We did one on a chair and one tombstone, and that's it.
But considering that the Undertaker is basically a shell of himself, of which, since we want to go back on some past episode shit, we had an entire discussion about this and why the Undertaker needs to call it a career.
Because he should have called it a career at 30.
I agree. I agree. Real talk, I do. But considering that, because like you say, I did notice that as well too. There was no old school. The last ride, like the Last Supper, that shit looked whack as hell. The MMA move that he does, that
the Hell's Gate.
Hell's Gate, that looked whack as hell. And you said no choke slams. We did not see Vince Undertaker, but we did see Roman Reigns show why he can be. I'm not saying he is yet. But why he can be eventually a ring general, because he did carry that match physically.
He was fighting a punching bag. Like, of course, if you're fighting a punching bag that's just going to stand there and exist, yes, you have to be a ring general.
But didn't he at least make it seem like that mystique and that mystery, that enigmatic figure of the Undertaker was still there?
No. Not at all.
Man.
Zero. He didn't do it for me. Not for me, personally. For you, yes, because your dick gets hard for Roman Reigns for some reason. I don't get it. But for me, it did nothing. It was so bad.
I still felt that even though Undertaker was very limited in this match, which he exhibited, you know, thoroughly.
And he was an old guy.
Huh?
He's old, I get it.
Yeah, right. But you know what I'm saying? I still feel that Roman did a well enough job to show that, hey, he's limited, but he's still the fucking Undertaker. And he's still like, no, he still has a chance. Even, you know, like, when he kicked out of, the first Superman punch.
I guess. I was unimpressed with it. I didn't like it at all.
That spear was badass at the very end. When he like bounced off the ropes like twice. I mean, sure. And he looked like he just killed the Undertaker with that spear.
I don't know. I thought it was stupid. I hate Roman Reigns so much. So much.
Dude, what about that last shot of him when he was on the middle of the ramp? And he was like looking back at the ring. That was a dope ass shot.
Of Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
No, nothing is dope about Roman Reigns. Ever.
So Roman Reigns, he defeats the Undertaker, and the Undertaker made it visibly known that he has retired and he is done with professional wrestling. Before he left the ring, while they're showing the little video package of the match itself, a little recap, we come back to a live shot of the Undertaker in the middle of the ring where he has his entire garb on, his hat, his coat, his long coat, trench coat. And we've never seen that. We have never seen that before. It was very unorthodox. It was like, whoa, what's going on? But then it kind of hits you. It really does settle in with you with what reality is about to take place. He takes his coat off. He folds it nicely. Puts it on the floor. Takes his hat off. Places his hat on top of his coat. In the middle of the ring. And leaves the ring. And he left it all there. It was very reminiscent of when Jordan... left his shoes on the middle of the United States floor and kissed the floor and said goodbye. Undertaker leaves the ring. He kisses his wife Michelle McCool. He takes that slow walk up the ramp. And what I loved about this whole thing was that there was no commentary. They weren't saying anything. Oh, and by the way, they brought back Jim Ross for the match. Yeah, they weren't saying anything. It was quiet. I love that. It was a perfect touch because there was no words were needed. And then Undertaker finds his mark. He stops in the middle of the ramp, and he just lowers himself down and disappears into darkness. That was beautiful. That was freaking beautiful. Now, what was it like at the bar when all that was taking place?
It was really quiet. Really, really, really quiet.
Man.
Like all night I was like watching whatever. And then after the match and he was standing in the ring with his stuff back on, like I literally was just like eyes on the TV, didn't move.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think I blinked for like the 5 minutes that he was doing it. And I was just and then it ended and I just like got up and then we all just left. Like I was just like, okay. Because it's like, all right, like there goes like, you know, like the first 20 years of my life.
Hell yeah, man.
So
yeah,
but it was quiet. It was like, yeah, that was a huge moment. I feel like,
jeez, that was major. And that's the thing is that, like, you know, after it was all said and done, I know, like, all night, Sunday night, I was not only reliving that moment, but I was thinking about all these old past Undertaker moments that I remember, growing up. You know, when his battles with Yokozuna in the casket, his battles with Kamala, his battles with King Kong Bundy and whatnot, battles with Kane, you know, the Ministry of Darkness, you know, you think about all that with Mankind. It was like, man, like, this cat... 27 years, bro. 27 years, G. Man, like, it's like when you really think about it, it just really kind of like trips you out. Like, I can't believe it's really over, man. Like, that, mm-hmm. Like you said, like, Undertaker is a part of all of our childhoods. Like, we all can relate. We all think about when we were a kid watching Undertaker, we getting scared because, you know, like, we're like, oh, man, he's scary. You know what I mean? And now it's over with, man.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's over with. You know, that was, yeah, I mean, that's quite, you could say that was probably, like, one of the greatest careers in WWE history, was what The Undertaker did.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah. So that was WrestleMania 33, is in the books. It is one for the ages. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed WrestleMania 33. I had to watch it again the next day. I took my annual day after WrestleMania off. This past Monday, and, you know, took it all in again. And it was a good time. How would you grade this WrestleMania? If you had to give it a grade.
6.5.
6.5 out of 10?
Yep.
Alright. I'm gonna go a little higher. I'm gonna go with 8.5. I really liked it. I just thought it was so good. It was so well done. I do agree with you, like, you know, I didn't think about that until you said it earlier, like, the lack of like over the top special entrances and everything. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, like, I mean, when you think about the likes of like 31 and everything, 31 had like some really great entrances, but you know, it was what it was, you know. But as far as like what we got in the ring and as far as the storytelling and everything is concerned, it ranks pretty high on my list. All right. Now, so we end WrestleMania 33. We go on to the next night, which is Monday Night Raw. Which is going to be taking place at the Amway Center, where they have the Hall of Fame at. Roman Reigns starts off at the top of the show, being met with a sea of endless boos, jeers, and, you know, insults and everything. Chants. Danny had this very, very biblical, connection, parallel that you made to the beginning of Raw. Do you want to share that?
Sure. So basically, Roman Reigns came out on Raw. He opened it. Well, Raw opened with basically "Thank you, Taker" chants for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Like over and over and over and over again. And then, of course, Roman Reigns' music hits. He walks out. It's crazy, like Maurice said. And then he kind of stood in the ring to all sorts of stuff. And every time he tried to put his mouth to the mic to say something, the boos got even louder and all this stuff. And apparently it went on for 8 minutes and 33 seconds. And then one of my homies pointed out to me today that it was 8 minutes and 33 seconds. And then in the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 33, it says, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies." So it's like Vince McMahon chose Roman Reigns. And everyone boos him, but apparently it's justified. We'll see.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty prophetic when you brought that up. I was like, okay, all right, okay. You know, I mean, if that really was like planned from the beginning, then like, wow, you know, that's some good thinking. But I think that's a really cool connection, though. Yeah, and all he said was, "This is my yard now." Everyone went nuts. I mean, not even in a good way. I'm talking about like they were booing him and everything. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, man. As long as they're reacting, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
I guess. he'll be lucky if someone doesn't like kill him one day. Someone's gonna take it too far.
He walking around with that Triple H personal police escorts now. That's why they were there. They got a new client now in Roman Reigns. I don't remember much from Raw. I'm not gonna lie to you. I remember the Hardys coming out, then defending the belts. It was a big pop. I remember the very end, obviously, with Finn Balor coming back.
Yep, and Revival came up.
Revival, yeah, Revival got called up. Yep. Finn Balor, he tag teamed with Seth Rollins to go up against what's known as KO and Joe, right?
Yep.
Yeah, KO and Joe. Good match. And that is all I remember at the moment.
It was fun. It was just fun crowd.
Yeah.
But the takeaways from it was Hardys are back. And then Finn Balor came back.
Yeah.
And then Revival is up now.
Gotcha.
And then you fast forward to yesterday, and you got SmackDown with Ty Dillinger getting called up and Nakamura coming up.
Yeah, see, I missed a lot of SmackDown yesterday, and I heard about Nakamura coming up, and I actually did get to see AJ and Shane in the ring together. But wow, that's crazy. So, but yeah, man. So Nakamura, he's now in He's now in SmackDown. He didn't wrestle, though, did he?
No, Miz came out with Maurice, and they were cutting a promo, and they were dressed as John Cena and Nikki Bella. And they were talking, and then that guy that plays the violin.
Yeah.
He came out, just stood there, and started playing a song. And then everyone figured out what was going on. And then when he finished his song, he started into the Nakamura theme, and then Nakamura just walks out. It walks into the ring, kind of stands around. Everyone's like, "Oh my goodness!" And then he just kind of looks around, and then he walked away.
It's like, "What am I doing here?"
Yeah, pretty much.
That's hilarious. That's dope as hell. So he's official with SmackDown, then, right?
Yep.
Dope.
Yep, him and Ty Dillinger got the call.
Okay. Cool. And I think that SmackDown ended with Randy and Roman Reigns. I mean, not Roman Reigns. Eric Rowan. Luke Harper against Eric Rowland.
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, right?
Yep.
Well, cool. And then that takes us to the conclusion of the WrestleMania weekend. So all 5 days, that is all in the books now and everything. If you want to check them out, go on the WWE Network, and check these slices of goodies out and see for yourself.
Yeah. It's tiring. I'll tell you that much.
And you ain't never lie, brother, for real. All right, so like we always do about this time. Like we always say, send us an email, send us a message, send us a tweet. We'll be more than happy to read it and answer your questions and to give you a little bit.
We had the one, but let's do it next week because we're at like 2 hours right now.
Okay. Adrian Cotton, we are going to do your email next week. We promise you. Because, we're running out of gas right now.
Yeah, it's like midnight 30 for Maurice.
Yeah,
10:30 for me. I got to be at work at like 5 tomorrow. Oh, so. Jesus!
Yeah. Adrian, we're gonna touch on Adrian's email next week. We actually have some insight about it as well too. That's a whole beast of a conversation. So
One whole episode.
Yeah, it really is. But WrestleMania weekend was a blast. I love WrestleMania weekend, bro. There's like literally no other time of the year that just had parallels with it. And it was a really good feeling to always be expecting, okay, what's next? Just knowing that good times will be around the corner and everything. So it was a good weekend, man. It was really good.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So anyway, y'all, I hope y'all enjoyed this episode of the MBX Podcast, Special WrestleMania. We probably will get back onto more the pop culture stuff and everything next week. Talk about music, sports, and fuckery. And we'll touch on wrestling, obviously. Like we normally do. But just in general, if you want to send us an email, if you want to give us a shout out, if you want to ask any questions, if you want to give some advice, anything you want, hit us up. Email us at mdxpodcast1@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram at mdxpodcast. Hit us up on Facebook. Just find us on Facebook. We're there. And more importantly, hit us up on iTunes, subscribe to us, hit that subscribe button, and rate us with the 5 stars, and give us a good comment so we can keep this going, all right? But there are many ways to hit us up and everything, or just hit us up in the inbox as well, too, in our personal inboxes. But other than that, though, we should be all set with everything. It was a great episode, brother, once again.
Yes, sir, always.
And we will holler at y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.